Okay. What was the question?
Why do the different avatars have, like, appear in different colors? Like,
why they come in different colors?
Yeah, why is the...
Well, it's Krishna's sense of variety. Just like when we come in different incarnations, then sometimes we come in all different colors depending on our karma. So Krishna doesn't have any karma. But he has that privilege of coming in different colors. And then on top of that, different colors also reflect different things, like different moods. Like Lord Chaitanya is golden because gold reflects the mood of love, of prema. Krishna is blackish because it signifies that he's rasa, rasa vaisa, he's the supreme enjoyer, which reflects actually his godhood. Like Yagya is red like fire, and then Lord Kapila is white, golden, or white, golden hair, white complexion, it's pure, to reflect purity of teachings. So color, complexion. Although I remember when in Mayapur, when the devotees were actually talking to Prabhupada about what color they should install deities in Maitreya, Krishna should be black or white. Prabhupada said, it doesn't matter. And the devotee wanted black, so he wanted to say, Prabhupada, isn't Krishna black? He says, well, he is, but it doesn't matter. He can be black or white. He's white also. So Krishna has different reasons, different purposes. And he displays different colors. And even Krishna has different colors. Sometimes he's golden in color just by influence of gopis. Otherwise it would be boring. Eat this morning?
Well, no, I was eating bean. I came straight up. I was chanting. I
got
to drink some
water. Pretty austere.
No, they're fine. We're going to have something later.
Something else? Well, my question is, what how do you envisage the future, your life, like what you do? Well, I know your life's pretty set, isn't it?
Yeah. I know as far as uni, and that's it. That I want to go and to my first group, but what can you show do?
But what will you do after you finish university and what kind of work will you do?
I want to be a teacher.
You're going to be a teacher?
I wanted to. I was thinking of it. I'm not sure. Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
people say it's quite like hard work, but why look into it? Yeah, I'm all about like work experience, like go to someone who's a lawyer and see how it is, because people want to go in that direction or not.
So you see yourselves actually, it's not like your parents who are full-time devotees. You don't see yourselves as being full-time devotees in terms of serving ISKCON's mission full-time.
Well, that's what I'd
say
like
that again.
To you, what would you like to do then? If say if you didn't have to have a job.
I don't know if I could live at the temple. Even if I could for a year or something, but I don't know if I could live there forever at the manor.
Yeah, well, I don't know about living at the manor. I mean, they don't live at the manor. But, you know, the Krishna consciousness has different ways in which it's practiced. One is that someone's practices and does what service they can, like a lot of, patrons and supporters and so on, and then they work and they maintain themselves doing different types of jobs, and then someone's full-time devotee, which means that they're doing preaching, sankirtan, deity worship, other things like that, and then the society maintains them for their services. And that's how they envisage their life.
I think with the girls, we've always kind of said to them that they have to have a kind of good basic education, just so that they have something to back them up with, financially. Obviously, yeah, at the end of the day, if we rely on Krishna.
They're getting, education, they're getting, as long as once you get the education, then at a certain point, one has to sort of decide what they're going to do with their lives. People decide what kind of career they're going to have, and then so they take directions in life. People also need to get a direction in life, because unless you have a direction, then how do you go there?
Yeah, I think that they're not sure what they're
into. Well, one thing that's also very good is right now you're investing a lot of experience, a lot of time and energy getting the experience of education and finding out about what career life is about, but you don't really have any experience and you haven't really put any substantial amount of time into actually just finding out what it would be like if you were engaged in a full-time service, and that's going to be, and therefore you're not going to be able to really make it. You're not going to make a decision, because you're going to make a decision between things that you don't know. You can't make a decision between things that you don't know. So that's one thing, you should think of that at a certain point when you finish education, it's like, you know, Mormons, and everyone goes off for 2 years, everybody, and they're missionaries. Mm. Although they don't have such a thing, or very few become really full-time missionaries. They don't have like that. But at least everyone does that. And number one, it gives them a certain degree of training and experience. But then it also gives someone the opportunity to then decide, well, is this what I want to do for the rest of my life? But then I've got my education, so do I want to go into the professional world? Or feeling, but to actually make a decision based on what you know, that means you make a decision on a real experience. And that's why when you go to school, then you learn biology and physics and chemistry and mathematics. So on the basis of the fact that you have experience with these things over the period of many years, you can then decide which one of these fields you want to go into. But if someone never studied mathematics, how does he know he wants to be a mathematician? Doesn't even know whether he has the inclination for it, whether he likes it or not. So then it's just sort of sentiment. So that's one aspect. And it's not necessarily that, you know, the best thing is to be full-time devotee. It's a question of actually what someone's nature is. What their nature is, and what really draws them or attracts them. But it's really hard to know that unless someone's had that experience. Well, what is it like when you have to get up at 4 o'clock in the morning and there's no alternative? And you get up at 4 and you go to Mangalartik every day, and you have some particular service, whether it's washing pots or going on Harinam or what it then gives that experience. And then even if devotees decide that they don't want to continue that, but at least they really had a really good training, and that training becomes very good experience for what it means like to live at home, because they know, you know, someone says, well, no, I want to, you know, just work and practice Krishna consciousness at home, but what's the standard? Like, it's a topic that we often discuss, that often, you know, devotees who live outside the temple, they get initiated with standards that devotees who live in the temple would get thrown out with for. És hát kell, hogy segítsen valaki, hogy csak kapcsol ki és hoz ki. Because, you know, if you may be, you know, living at home, getting up at 6 o'clock in the morning and chanting a few rounds here, chanting a few rounds there, who really knows? But if you do it long enough and you get them, then, you know, you can get initiated. But if you get up for 2 months in a row at 6 o'clock in the morning at a temple, you're out the door. So what is actually really the standard for practicing Krishna consciousness? And that's a very important thing, because it really helps to get into making a difference between just being Krishna conscious or having Krishna consciousness as my religion. Because a lot of people, a lot of Indian people, like in England, for them, Krishna is their God. That's got nothing to do with them making spiritual advancement or going back to Godhead, and they won't, just because Krishna's just their religion, just like the Christians. They believe in Jesus Christ, or someone else believes in something else, so they believe in that, and Hare Krishna. So there's, you know, believing in Krishna is okay, but it doesn't solve the problems of life, and it doesn't take you back to Godhead, unless someone actually does at least the minimum. That's it. Then we're gonna have time, and that's why it's important to have a vision for where you're going when you're young. You can't have a vision for where you're going when you're old. And that's why, you know, people are expected to be wise enough and experienced enough to actually. But you do it within a couple of years. You come to that decision, because when you walk into university, you know, they expect you to know what it is that you want to do. have to diversify. You have to you have to actually hone in on some specific profession. So that's just, but profession is how you eat. That's all it means. That's what it boils down to, how you're going to feed yourself. Whether you're a lawyer or an airplane pilot or whatever, it's just about eating and maintaining a house. It has no more material significance than that, and no more spiritual significance. But then the real thing is, where are you going in life? Because whether you're a doctor or a teacher or anything else, you're going to die. You're going to die. So when you die, where do you go? You come back again? You have to go to school again? Or do you go back to Krishna? So that priority has to be very, very clear. And it requires more than just faith. Well, I want to go back to Krishna, but it's like being a teacher. You don't become a teacher by wanting to be a teacher. You become a teacher by doing something, by applying yourself. If people don't apply themselves to being Krishna conscious, they won't. At least not the type of Krishna consciousness that gets you back to God. Okay, let's think about for today. I'm going to go back to, I lost my whole light and blues, but almost the first 5 hours of the morning, being in the temple and everything. So we'll to go to the kitchen. You can go help in the groupie. I'll sit outside in the sun.
I think it's kind of just always finding the right balance, you know, for the. It's like, you know, definitely initiation is stuff that we want them to aim for. But then, grow up, we don't want, you know, I think as parents you always kind of think, well, you don't want them to kind of be stuck in a situation where they won't, or they will always be trying to find out themselves, but we always think to them, yeah, initiation is something which they have to, it's kind of just there, we don't even, we assume they, it's part of their life, you know, it's
not even a question. Yeah, initiation may be a goal, or at least it may be a step. Where does it lead to? Because you can take initiation for many, many lives, but and then you see people are initiated. People may be initiated who are living outside the temple, or inside the temple, or working full-time, or serving full-time. So initiation is fine, that's available for everyone, but in what context is life, and then whatever the decision, then on top of that, you know, comes the question of ashram. Because girls means marriage, and you have to be very clear about your values already, because unless you do, a lot of people their goal in life because they don't have a compatible person that they marry. That's very important. So you need to know what you want to do. So you're involved with someone else who also should know what they want to do.